Chuba Dooba tell Chunky to be yourself?
You know.
Finished!
Bingo, you gotta flush, come on!
Am I just being yourself?
Look, it's just monkeys singing songs, mate. Don't think too hard about it.
You're listening to Bluey's Brisbane with Justin and Lou.
Well, g'day. It's Justin here from Bluey's Brisbane. We are the podcast that likes to go behind the scenes of Bluey and bring you a little bit of the Healer family. And what we're uncovering today is a little bit of Bluey seen through American eyes. Now, Lou and I have been fascinated with how America has taken to Bluey. You know, the show's just gotten bigger and bigger in the States. Even cricket is now catching on thanks to Bluey.
Four bits!
And with Bandit and Chili's voice actors, that's Dave McCormack and Melanie Zanetti, both putting in appearances at the Lexington Comic Con in Kentucky earlier this month, we thought the time was right to get a bit of a taste of Bluey as seen through American eyes. Now, we started chatting to Kyle Thompson late last year when he sent us a couple of photos of him meeting both Dave and Mel at the Twin Cities Con in Minneapolis. Now, Kyle is involved in the stay-at-home dad movement, and he subscribes to the gentle parenting model, and he loves Bluey because it encourages him to be like Bandit and a great dad to his kids. So, it's a little bit of Red, White and Bluey on the podcast today with Kyle Thompson, our special guest, all the way from America, on this episode of Bluey's Brisbane.
This is a complete fan podcast with a fan, so we've gone a bit meta there. And I'm totally down for that. But Kyle Thompson, tell us where you are in the world right now.
I am about 30 minutes south of Minneapolis. And I'm a Minnesota dad. I'm a Minnesota stay-at-home dad. And
it's almost the middle of the U.S. too, isn't Minnesota?
It's the Midwest. Yeah, we're smack dab right in the middle. In Minnesota, we like to consider ourselves the North. It's super cold at times, and we can wear that with a badge of honor.
We approached you because you do some really interesting stuff with dad groups online. You shared some great photos, and that's something we're going to get to talk about what those photos were in the recent event where you were at. But I kind of want to just throw it over to you as a Midwest dad. You're 30 minutes, you know, south of Minnesota. But how did you, as an American, find and discover Bluey?
I think it was the Disney Plus when they picked it up. It took over all of my Facebook groups that have to do with parenting or dads or stay-at-home dads. And you couldn't avoid it. Started seeing some specific posts by specific people that I look up to and respect. And so I'm like, okay, it's checking some boxes with some people that I respect. So I'll look into it. Because at the time, my wife and I were trying to limit screens with our kids. And we're trying to keep on top of not just being on a screen all day long. That started to go by the wayside when the pandemic hit, screens won. And we focused our energy on just curating the content that's going to be in front of our kids. So it's like, okay, we're going to try to pick the smart battles here. Found one episode of Bluey and they have not turned back. Anybody who's seen an episode of Bluey knows that, like, if you're in that mode, like for me, I was in the parenting mode. It was a pandemic. I needed, you know, I was looking for good entertainment, you know, family friendly top to bottom. And it's all there. There's recent big Pixar movies that have a lot of grown up humor and grown up themes. So you can be entertained while you're going out to the kid movie. This was like that. So I kind of recognized that there was layers, but this was different. It was almost flipped. And I think that a lot of people recognize that. It's almost like a parent's show that kids enjoy. But since we started watching Bluey, that is our staple. That is our go-to. We turned it on last night as a treat before bed, and all four of us in the family were laughing out loud to whatever was happening in the episode. And it's like, tell me any other show that can do that. Not to mention the value of making memories together, laughing about something, and you're all getting the same humor and the kids are getting the same joke as the grown-ups. There's this really equality vibe to it, that it's not a separate humor type of situation.
Mr. Healer.
Okay, okay. I fluffied.
In your child's face.
The face is at bum level. It's hard not to.
Well, I
one of the things we talked about on the socials was that you know, you're a stay-at-home dad and you're quite big in the gentle parenting kind of scene and raising your kids as a gentle parent. When you started watching Bluey for the first time, I mean, obviously Bandit's such a great role model, and that's been one of the things that's been talked about a lot, you know, about Bluey over the years, is finally we get a good role model as a dad on the screen. As a stay-at-home dad and as a gentle parent, what were some of the things that you were seeing when you first discovered Bluey, and how did, you know, say Bandit speak to you as a dad?
I think this is like the most important bit of how I feel about it. So thank you for asking that question. To see the dad model appropriate and healthy masculinity was just like, wow, I personally have been waiting to see something like this. Because you talk about gentle parenting, I strive to be a practitioner of gentle parenting. I'm not going to say that I'm perfect, right? But it's something I strive for and strive to do. I think when you see Bandit, I think Keepy Uppy and Yoga Ball kind of jump out to where situations where Bandit doesn't do anything wrong, nobody's at fault, but something happens and he takes ownership of it, because it doesn't matter whose fault it is or anything like that. He apologizes to his kiddos.
Sometimes you play a bit too rough with me.
Oh, Bingo, really? Oh, sorry, Buster, I didn't realize.
That's a big thing, and I'm not sure about Australian culture and how that plays out, but there's kind of, there's a generational thing in America where an older generation typically won't apologize willingly for a lot. There's a general notion of mom and dad are right because mom and dad are mom and dad and mom and dad are right, that sort of thing. And again, broad strokes. So to see, you know, the dad of the family, first off, get down on a knee. Like that technique is so underrated. Get down on their knee so it's eye level and apologize in a sincere way. In Yoga Ball, he said, "Sorry, Buster, I didn't realize." That's a huge thing. That's a big vulnerable moment to make yourself vulnerable in front of your child. To see these things play out and to see them modeled, and then to hear him say, "I'm not going to take advice from a cartoon dog," and flat pack, like, it's really on the nose. It is really cool to have this show be funny, engaging, relatable, and you don't realize it, but you're seeing some of these parenting techniques that are like high level parenting.
Okay, how about this? If I'm talking to a grown up and you want me, you just come up and put your hand on my arm. So now I know that you want to talk to me. Then I'll do this to show you that I know you're there and that you want to talk to me. What do you think?
Yeah.
All right. High five. Ah, got something in my eye.
Kyle, I'm curious about how Bluey is changing the use of language. Maybe words have snuck in into your house.
Yeah, it's...
Because we've seen some articles about this, like words like cheeky, are throwing a lot of US parents because it's not a US type of word to use. And we've had a giggle about thongs. We made you blush earlier. And we've solved that intimate mystery. But what other sort of words are you noticing your kids are picking up or that you're even saying in your household?
I say bits a lot, B-I-T-S. This bit, that bit, that earlier bit, the later bit, just whatever. And I find that a really good utilitarian word. I've started saying bins instead of garbage cans from Bin Knight.
Love it.
I like it. I don't know. Maybe it's just a novelty thing for me.
Like where you are you a town that uses that, or are you part of the wheelie bin generation? Like revolution.
We have wheelie bins.
You do. We're part of the wheelie bin.
Oh, I will now.
I'm going to have you second guessing your bin note as you're wheeling it out. Going, what do I call this inanimate object?
My youngest, who is turning 4 in December, she's using the word properly a lot in talking about how if there's a game that her older sister's not playing properly, she'll come and complain to Dad that her older sister's not playing the game properly, which I absolutely adore. I love, and I hope it never stops. We get a laugh about Dunny. We talk about Dunny. I mean, my two girls are 7.5 and almost 4. So toilet humor is number one. Just saying the word toilet will get them to laugh. That's where they're at right now. So Dunny was really big for a minute. But I think they prefer toilet more. It's a funnier word for them.
Oh, just be a second.
Oh, my. How rude. Can't you see that I'm on the toilet?
We've got so much FOMO about you and your life, Kyle. Specifically around one event. You did the Twin Cities Con, and I want to throw it over to you. What exactly was like Twin Cities Con? Is that like Comic Con? That sort of franchise or pop culture?
That's exactly what it is.
Yeah, nice. And you met two people when you went to the Twin Cities Con. So I just want to, you met Bandit and Chili for real life. Like, tell us everything and spare no detail and increase the FOMO, thanks.
Okay. So I met two human beings and they're actually humans.
They're not
like
dogs?
Us.
What?
They're not dogs. I went to Twin Cities Con. Look, when I saw that they were coming to Minneapolis, that was it. My family, we're a bit nerdy. So when you're talking Comic Cons, that's something that would probably interest us anyways. But with our kids, it's just kind of one of those not yet things. And I did not have my girls with me. Just like Bluey, my kiddos are sensitive kiddos. And we just know that. So there's some stuff at Comic Con. Some of the grown-up stuff that would have just been way too much. Being completely honest, meeting them was for me because my kids would have loved it. They would have thought it's cool. But I have a background in graphic design, so seeing the show, it really interests me on that level. In college, I've done some assignments with voice recordings and things like that, so I can remember the terror that I had going through that, and I can appreciate how well this show is. So I got in line and I met Dave, and he is who he is, right? And that's clearly why the show works. This is a person not putting on an act. He's not doing a voice. He's just himself, and he's just, I don't know if this is a compliment. I don't know if this is going to sound, he's just very light and fun. And
that's Dave.
He's just that way.
Do you have something with your characters that you both really relate to?
I don't really feel like I'm doing a character. I just feel like it's me. Looks like a dog.
but that's great though. If you feel, I mean, yeah. Then the casting.
It's just Dave.
It's just Dave.
And I remember telling him, I wanted to meet him in person because I wanted to know that the vibe is real. Because the show gives such an energy and such a vibe. And I'm like, I just want to know this is real, man. I totally fanboyed out on him and got a picture, and he signed a note to the Thompsons, which is my family. And we had a chat. It was really nice and low key, because I wanted to get there at a time that wasn't going to be so busy. And I was probably maybe the third or fourth person in line. The line is taped out on the floor and it wasn't very full yet. So you can kind of take more liberties into the chit chat. While he was coming around to take a photo, Melanie had grabbed him to do a combination photo for a different fan. So then I had an opportunity to kind of say, what's up to Chili? And I went through her line and said hello to her as well. And just mentioned your choices, your creative choices, and the way that you bring warmth into the show and everything that you've done is just great. So don't change anything, please. You know, like you're really fantastic in the role in the show, and it's fantastic. and took my picture with Dave, and he asked a question about, I said, my name's Kyle. And he said, I'm not writing to Kyle. I'm writing to the Thompsons. I said, well, that's my family. I'm a stay at home dad. And, you know, he looked at me and said, you're really doing it, huh? And I said, well, take a compliment from Bandit Healer. Okay. But it was fantastic. It was really cool. I get it, right? If you're a celebrity at a con, you're kind of on your game. But that's who they were. You could tell that there was no effort into them being there. And you could see right through that, right? These two people were who they are on the show. They're just those people. It was absolutely wild to me learning about, they were interviewed the morning before at Fox 9, which is our local news affiliate. And they had said that that morning was the second time that they had met.
And it's fascinating to learn, I mean, you tour in Australia, but in different cities, again, we said you record separately, and you actually only been together in the same space a few times.
Twice. This is our second time.
This is our second time, guys.
In like 5 years?
Yeah.
That's wild.
That's wild.
Last year in New York and now in Minneapolis.
I don't comprehend that. I don't understand, right? They met once at the Tonight Show, and then they met at Twin Cities Con. So when Chili walked around and did the photo and then they were kind of walking back, I said, how is it you guys have only met twice? And they kind of turned like, I know, this is just this crazy detail. Oh my gosh. Like, there's so much magic put into the show. Yeah, you could just tell there's so much care at every level. So you could have a situation where your column two lead voice actors have never met in real life, and you have three seasons, 150 some episodes, right? How do you do that? This whole thing is just this magical phenomenon. And I'm really stoked that I met them. I don't know if they'll ever be back to Minnesota. It seemed quite random that they were here. So I was like, I'll take it. I'll happily jump on this opportunity.
Whoever's organizing that, you did well, very well.
Absolutely. Big time props.
You mentioned some episodes earlier that really had stood out to you around parenting, just the style of parenting that Bandit, you know, uses. Are there other standout episodes for you? You know, if you were going to vote for your top five, what are some that immediately come to mind that would get, you know, a Guernsey?
Sleepy Time. And I love the Bluey music, and I hope that we can talk about that as well. But I didn't quite recognize the classical piece. I'm not very versed in the classical. So for me, Sleepy Time puts me into like the church that I grew up in with the huge organs and all of that. So it for a different reason, brought me right back to when I was 4, 5, 6, 7 years old. And yeah, the imagery, it's a masterpiece.
Remember, I'll always be here for you, even if you can't see me, because I love you.
My family doesn't have exposure into cricket. We're big American football. I love my Minnesota Vikings. But in everything else, like the writing of Bluey, you don't need to know the details of the cultural differences. The main points are the friendship and an older sibling doing a solid for younger sibling to the surprise of everybody, you know, like that sort of thing. And I see my oldest daughter in Rusty in that moment when he hits the pop fly to his younger sister. And it's like, got me to cry, right?
I got it!
He hit his little sister a catch.
Oh, you got me!
Camping? Camping is one of my favorites. Yeah. Beautiful story about how you don't need to know what the other person's saying. You can play.
Yes.
You can find camaraderie there.
It's almost Bluey being a little bit self-aware, isn't it? Like, this is a universal theme. You don't need to know the words, but you know exactly what's going on, and you see the understanding between the kids.
Where'd you get condensed milk from?
Rusty gave it to me. See you, Jack.
Hey, Rusty.
His dad brought it back from patrol.
Army really hit home with me. This is not a mental health a commercial, but I will say I'm comfortable saying, you know, I have ADHD, and it's something that's kind of a it's a daily thing for me to be managing it and to discuss managing it with my kiddos, learning that it's 75% genetically from parent to child. So seeing that episode and hearing the things that Jack was saying was like, oh, how did little Kyle get into an episode of Bluey? You know, Jack, you can't sit still. You always forget this. It was so relatable in the charming and accepting and guilt-free and shame-free way that Bluey does it. And at the end, the mom says, wow, you really remembered a lot of details. And I'm watching the episode and I'm bawling my eyes out. I'm like, okay, how do I get to be this emotional after 7 minutes? But you can understand the struggles and the successes, really, that you find.
I didn't give up.
Well done, mate.
Is this Australia?
Yeah, mate. This is Australia.
I have a few questions, things that I really would be remiss if I didn't mention them, so I'll kind of just rapid fire.
Hit us.
Well, I feel like there's some questions that could use some clarifying. How are there so many episodes? How are there so many melodies? I have both the albums on my phone and it goes through the car. So every day is a daddy drop off. So when we do daddy drop off, it's about 9 times out of 10, we'll have Bluey going and it's either Taxi or Granny's or whatever there is. A Chattermax in the car wash is a favorite. But from a musical perspective, from an instrumental musical perspective, they didn't have to go as hard as they go. And it's great. And it's amazing. And I don't have shame and embarrassment to like share a music thing to my group chat of my stay-at-home dad friends who only have kiddos in their teens. They're not really kiddos anymore, right? So like, they're not the target market for Bluey music, but it bangs so hard. It's hard. It's better than it should be. And I really appreciate that.
Yeah, I think that really speaks to how much love goes into the show because you're right. They don't have to do that. You know, you watch most kids' shows and it's just the same theme that'll pop up again and again and again. But really, Bluey is kind of like a short film. They sit down at the start of the ep and they start from scratch. It really is amazing. And I mean, Geoff Bush, who is the main composer, will very quickly say, it's not just me, he's got a whole team behind him. He's got great composers like Joe Twist and Jazz Darcy, and there's a whole team of contributors and writers in there. But you're right, Kyle, it is amazing that they go to that much effort for a kids' show. And maybe you're right too, it's not really a kids' show. It's a show for us.
Yeah, it's a show for us that the kids really like. When counting the long dogs, when finding the hidden long dogs, when is it appropriate to use the long dog on the fridge? Because there's a long dog magnet on the fridge, and I feel kind of easy one out when I use that long dog in an episode. But that just might be me.
Justin, people, I'm going to speak on behalf of Mary and Kate, who do the Gotta Be Done podcast. They would argue, no, one does not simply use the fridge magnet long dog on, you know, as an easy win.
Because it's not hidden.
It's not hidden. That's right.
Like the constellation and Sleepy Time.
Who never finds long dogs even in plain sight. So you take your fridge magnet, Kyle, and you chalk that up as a win because they're like magic eye pictures. I can never find them. People show the solutions in some of the things, and I'm just sitting there looking at this going, is it looking at me? I don't know. What long dog?
Okay, baby. Time to come out. Go!
Sing to me, Pat.
Oh, yeah, righto.
Hey, True Blue, is it me and you?
My bonus question's kind of related. And, you know, you had the Censors ban a Bluey episode. And did we howl with laughter over here in Australia? Why, yes, we did. Because it was the episode of Dad Baby, which has to be the most ridiculous circus of episodes that has just so many layers of jokes for both kids and parents in it. And then fundamentally getting to the point that, you know, that papoose, the baby harness, is hard to get off. And it just led to this ridiculous dad baby sort of scenario in the backyard with a pool. And the neighbour Pat, Lucky's dad. So have you got to see that yet over in your neck of the Minnesota woods?
Yes, I
it's
have.
It's one of Justin's favorite episodes too.
It's a great episode.
It's a great episode. Look, there's great art in this show. We've talked about that, right? There's great art in this episode. It's kind of a shame because it would be one of my favorites if I had seen it, you know, as many times as I've seen, you know, Sleepy Time or something like that. I understand this where the censors are at, and that's hard for me to do. I totally understand when you have the size of Disney carrying the show, that automatically kind of puts certain boundaries on certain stuff. So I get it. I definitely don't like it. But man, I'm one hoping that we as the culture in the States can get to that point where it's not so controversial to see a dad make believe playing with his kids. It's clearly just the game that they do. I had one kind of soft take, if I will. I think anything that has Cricket in the episode might be an automatic don't even send it to the States because Cricket is this foreign thing that we don't understand. So so I was kind of thinking, okay, there's Lucky's dad calls back. Because you got to know the score. You got to know who's scored the score.
You need to know the score.
We do that when we're mowing lawn and the Vikings are playing and it's halftime or something and the game comes back on and it's like, what's the score? Who got it? Right? We got to know that stuff. Again, relatable. That's a masterpiece episode. It's just great. It's just fantastic.
It was really funny to see that sort of response to that episode. When my most horrific part about that whole episode is watching all the dim sims go down, being smushed in with a kid. And I felt that. It's just like I've got food crud all over me vicariously in that episode. And that's my hot take on that episode. It's cold. And they're cold dim sims too. Like it's like, I'm being challenged right now. And it's always messy play when we're talking about Bandit and all that sort of thing.
Right.
So, yeah. But no, thank you for talking to us about that as a perspective. Thank you for talking to us full stop, because this was quite enjoyable. You got to have a talky role, not just actually commenting on a Facebook page, sending us comments from the past to the future. So thank you for making time and telling us about your Twin Cities con experience with Bandit and Chili.
Absolutely. Thank you for reaching out and inviting me. It was just kind of wild.
But thank you for sharing your photos too. That was joy. It was just so good to see those contributions because we can't be there. And, you know, this is what the internet was invented for. So it was just great. Really appreciate it.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Happy to.
Yes. Thank you for joining us.
Yeah.
You've been listening to Bluey's Brisbane. Check us out on Facebook and Instagram. Just search for at Bluey's Brisbane.
Terrific.